Chapter 21. Ethelberta paused before replying. Try to find out if he is much grieved at not seeing me, and say give him to understand that I will forgive him, Piketty. Very well. And Piketty yes. If he says he must see me, I think I will get up. But only if he says must. You remember that. Piketty departed on her errand. She paused on the staircase trembling, and thinking between the thrills, how very far would have been the conduct of her poor slighted self from proud recalcitration, had Mr. Julian's gentle request been addressed to her instead of to Ethelberta, and she went some way in the painful discovery of how much more tantalizing it was to watch an envied situation that was held by another than to be out of sight of it altogether. Here was Christopher waiting to bestow love, and Ethelberta not going down to receive it. A commodity unequaled in value by any other in the whole wide world was being wantonly wasted within that very house. If she could only have stood tonight as the beloved Ethelberta, and not as the despised Piketty, how different would be this going down? Thus she went along, red and pale, moving in her cheeks as in the northern lights at their strongest time. Meanwhile Christopher had sat waiting minute by minute till the evening shades grew browner, and the fire sank low. Joey, finding himself not particularly wanted upon the premises after the second inquiry, had slipped out to witness a nigger performance round the corner, and Julian began to think himself forgotten by all the household. The perception gradually cooled his emotions, and enabled him to hold his hat quite steadily. When Piketty gently thrust open the door, she was surprised to find the room in darkness, the fire gone completely out, and the form of Christopher only visible by a faint patch of light, which, coming from a lamp on the opposite side of the way and falling upon the mirror, was thrown as a pale nebulosity upon his shoulder. Piketty was too flurried at sight of the familiar outline to know what to do, and, instead of going or calling for a light, she mechanically advanced into the room. Christopher did not turn, or move in any way, and then she perceived that he had begun to doze in his chair. Instantly, with the precipitancy of the timorous, she said, Mr. Julian. And touched him on the shoulder, murmuring then, oh, I beg pardon, I will get a light. Christopher's consciousness returned, and his first act, before rising, was to exclaim, in a confused manner, ah, you have come, thank you, Berta. Then impulsively to seize her hand, as it hung beside his head, and kiss it passionately. He stood up, still holding her fingers. Piketty gasped out something, but was completely deprived of articulate utterance, and in another moment being unable to control herself at this sort of first meeting with the man as he had gone through fire and water to be near, and more particularly by the overpowering kiss upon her hand, burst into hysterical sobbing. Julian, in his inability to imagine so much emotion, or at least the exhibition of it in Ethelberta, gently drew Piketty further forward by the hand he held, and utilized the solitary spot of light from the mirror by making it fall upon her face. Recognizing the childish features, he at once, with an exclamation, dropped her hand and started back. Being in point of fact a complete bundle of nerves and nothing else, his thin figure shook like a harp string in painful excitement at a contretemps which would scarcely have quickened the pulse of an ordinary man. Poor Piketty, feeling herself in the wind of a civil deed, started back also, sobbing more than ever. It was a little too much, that the first result of his discovery of the mistake should be absolute repulse. She leant against the mantelpiece, when Julian, much bewildered at her superfluity of emotion, assisted her to a seat in sheer humanity. But Christopher was by no means pleased, when he again thought round the circle of circumstances. How could you allow such an absurd thing to happen? He said, in a stern, though trembling voice. You knew I might mistake. I had no idea you were in the house. I thought you were miles away, at Sandburn or somewhere. But I see. It is just done for a joke, ha ha. Apostrophe apostrophe, this made Piketty rather worse still. Oh 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 oh. Apostrophe, she replied, in the tone of pouring from a bottle. What shall I do, oh oh oh? It is not done for a joke at all, lll. Apostrophe apostrophe, not done for a joke? Then never mind, don't cry, Piketty. What was it done for, I wonder? Apostrophe apostrophe, Piketty, mistaking the purport of his inquiry, imagined him to refer to her arrival in the house, quite forgetting, in her guilty sense of having come on his account, that he would have no right, or thought of asking questions about a natural visit to a sister, and she said, when you went away from Sandburn, I didn't know what to do, and then I ran away, and came here, and then Ethelberta was angry with me, but she says I may stay, but she doesn't know that I know you, and how we used to meet along the road every morning, and I am afraid to tell her, oh, what shall I do? Apostrophe apostrophe, never mind it, apostrophe, said Christopher, a sense of the true state of her case dawning upon him with unpleasant distinctness, and bringing some irritation at his awkward position. Though it was impossible to be long angry with a girl who had not reasoning foresight enough to perceive that doubtful pleasure and certain pain must be the result of any meeting, whilst hearts were at cross purposes in this way. Where is your sister? Apostrophe apostrophe, he asked. She wouldn't come down, unless she must, apostrophe, said Piketty. You have vexed her, and as he has a headache besides that, and I came instead. Apostrophe apostrophe, so that I mightn't be wasted altogether. Well, it's a strange business between the three of us. I have heard of one-sided love, and reciprocal love, and all sorts, but this is my first experience of a concatenated affection. You follow me, I follow Ethelberta, and she follows heaven knows who. Apostrophe apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Ladywell. Apostrophe apostrophe, said the mortified Piketty. Good God, if I didn't think so. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Christopher, feeling to the soles of his feet like a man in a legitimate drama. No, no, no. Apostrophe apostrophe, said the frightened girl hastily. I am not sure it is Mr. Ladywell. That's altogether a mistake of mine. Apostrophe, ah, yes, you want to screen her, apostrophe, said Christopher, with a withering smile at the spot of light. Very sisterly, doubtless, but none of that will do for me. I am too old a bird by far, by very far. Now are you sure she does not love Ladywell? Apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, perhaps I blame her wrongly. She may have some little good faith a woman has, here and there. How do you know she does not love Ladywell? Apostrophe apostrophe, because she would prefer Mr. Nay to him, any day. Apostrophe apostrophe, ha! Apostrophe apostrophe, no, no you mistake, sir, she doesn't love either at all, Ethelberta doesn't. I meant that she cannot love Mr. Ladywell, because he stands lower in her opinion than Mr. Nay, and him she certainly does not care for. She only loves you. If you only knew how true she is, you wouldn't be so suspicious about her, and I wish I had not come here, yes, I do. Apostrophe apostrophe, I cannot tell what to think of it. Perhaps I don't know much of this world after all, or what girls will do. But you don't excuse her to me, Piketty. Apostrophe apostrophe, before this time Piketty had been simulating haste in getting a light, but in her dread of appearing visibly to Christopher's eyes, and showing him the precise condition of her tear-stained face, she put it off moment after moment, and stirred the fire, in hope that the faint illumination thus produced would be sufficient to save her from the charge of stupid conduct as entertainer. Fluttering about on the horns of this dilemma, she was greatly relieved when Christopher, who read her difficulty, and the general painfulness of the situation, said that since Ethelberta was really suffering from a headache he would not wish to disturb her till tomorrow, and went off downstairs, and into the street without further ceremony. Meanwhile, other things had happened upstairs. No sooner had Picotee left her sister's room than Ethelberta thought it would after all have been much better if as he had gone down herself to speak to this admirably persistent lover. Was she not drifting somewhat into the character of coquette, even if her ground of offense a word of Christopher's about somebody else's mean parentage, which was spoken in utter forgetfulness of her own position, but had wounded her to the quick nevertheless was to some extent a tenable one? She knew what facilities in suffering Christopher always showed, how a touch to other people was a blow to them his deep wound, although he took such pains to look stolid and unconcerned under those inflictions, and tried to smile as if he had no feelings whatever. It would be more generous to go down to him and be kind. She jumped up with that alertness which comes so spontaneously at those sweet bright times when desire and duty run hand in hand. As he hastily set her hair and dress in order, not such matchless order as she could have wished them to be in, but time was precious, and descended the stairs. When on the point of pushing open the drawing room door, which wanted about an inch of being closed, she was astounded to discover that the room was in total darkness, and still more to hear Picotee sobbing inside. To retreat again was the only action she was capable of at that moment. The clash between this picture and the anticipated scene of Picotee and Christopher sitting in frigid propriety at opposite sides of a well-lighted room was too great. She flitted upstairs again with the least possible rustle, and flung herself down on the couch as before, panting with excitement at the new knowledge that had come to her. There was only one possible construction to be put upon this in Ethelberta's rapid mind, and that approximated to the true one. She had known for some time that Picotee once had a lover, or something akin to it, and that he had disappointed her in a way which had never been told. No stranger, save in the capacity of the one beloved, could wound a woman sufficiently to make her weep, and it followed that Christopher was the man of Picotee's choice. As Ethelberta recalled the conversations, conclusion after conclusion came like pulsations in an aching head. Oh, how did it happen, and who is to blame? ... she exclaimed. I cannot doubt his faith, and I cannot doubt hers, and yet how can I keep doubting them both? ... it was characteristic of Ethelberta's jealous motherly guard over her young sisters that, amid these contending inquiries, her foremost feeling was less one of hope for her own love than of championship for Picotee's. 23. Ethelberta's house continued. Picotee was heard on the stairs. Ethelberta covered her face. Is he waiting? ... she said faintly, on finding that Picotee did not begin to speak. No, he is gone, said Picotee. Ah, why is that? ... came quickly from under the handkerchief. He has forgotten me, that's what it is. ... oh no, he has not. ... said Picotee, just as bitterly. Ethelberta had far too much heroism to let much in this strain escape her, though her sister was prepared to go any lengths in the same. I suppose, continued Ethelberta, in the quiet way of one who had only a headache the matter with her, that he remembered you after the meeting at Anglebury? ... yes, he remembered me. ... did you tell me you had seen him before that time? ... I had seen him at Sandburn. I don't think I told you. ... at whose house did you meet him? ... at nobody's. I only saw him sometimes, replied Picotee, in great distress. Ethelberta, though of all women most miserable, was brimming with compassion for the throbbing girl so nearly related to her, in whom she continually saw her own weak points without the counterpoise of her strong ones. But it was necessary to repress herself a while. The intended ways of her life were blocked and broken up by this jar of interests, and she wanted time to ponder new plans. Piketty, I would rather be alone now, if you don't mind, apostrophe she said. You need not leave me any light, it makes my eyes ache, I think. Apostrophe apostrophe, Piketty left the room. But Ethelberta had not long been alone, and in darkness when somebody gently opened the door, and entered without a candle. Berta, apostrophe said the soft voice of Piketty again, may I come in? Apostrophe, oh yes, apostrophe said Ethelberta. Has everything gone right with the house this evening? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, and Gwendoline went out just now, to buy a few things, and she is going to call round upon father, when he has got his dinner cleared away. Apostrophe apostrophe, I hope she will not stay, and talk to the other servants. Someday she will let drop something or other before father can stop her. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh Berta. Apostrophe apostrophe said Piketty, close beside her. She was kneeling in front of the couch, and now flinging her arm across Ethelberta's shoulder and shaking violently, she pressed her forehead against her sister's temple, and breathed out upon her cheek. I came in again, to tell you something which I ought to have told you just now, and I have come to say it at once, because I am afraid I shan't be able to tomorrow. Mr. Julian was the young man I spoke to you of a long time ago, and I should have told you all about him, but you said he was your young man too, and I didn't know what to do then, because I thought it was wrong in me to love your young man. And Berta, he didn't mean me to love him at all, but I did it myself, though I did not want to do it either, it would come to me. And I didn't know he belonged to you when I began it, or I would not have let him meet me at all. No, I wouldn't. Apostrophe apostrophe, meet you? You don't mean to say he used to meet you? Apostrophe whispered Ethelberta. Yes, apostrophe said Piketty, but he could not help it. We used to meet on the road, and there was no other road, unless I had gone ever so far around. But it is worse than that, Berta. That was why I couldn't bide in Sandburn, and ran away to you up here. It was not because I wanted to see you, Berta, but because I wanted apostrophe, yes, yes, I know, apostrophe said Ethelberta hurriedly. And then when I went downstairs he mistook me for you for a moment, and that caused a confusion. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.